حسب حسابا يسيرا وينقلب إلى أهله مسرورا وأما من أوتي كتابه بشماله فسوف يدعو ثبورا وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم حاسبوا أنفسكم قبل أن تحاسبوا وزنوها قبل أن توزنوا وقال الإمام الرضا عليه الصلاة والسلام ليس منا من لم يحاسب نفسه في كل يوم صلوات The subject of The speeches in these nights is muhasabatun nafs in Muharram and Safar, and how we as believers in Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam are required to prepare ourselves so that we can follow the footsteps of Sayyidul Shuhada Abi Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. Accountability and muhasaba is a responsibility that falls on the neck of every mu'min on daily basis. This is something that our religion requires from us, and the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam require from us to do it regularly. So much importance has been given to the concept of holding ourselves accountable that if we don't, we are not considered to be one of them. لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يُحَاسِبْ نَفْسَهُ فِي كُلَّ يَوْمٍ Someone who doesn't hold himself accountable daily is not amongst us. When the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam say a person is not amongst us, it translates into the fact that he is not a Muslim. Because those who are believers are amongst them. So our very iman and religion and its survival depends on the concept of muhasaba. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give the book of deeds, that me and you, we are all writing with the kind of beliefs that we believe in, the kind of amal that we perform, and the kind of akhlaq and morality that we have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is filling up the book of deeds, Diwanul A'mal, Kitabul A'mal, with all this information. And this information is going to fly on the Day of Judgment. Isn't it right? That's what we believe. Tatayur al-kutub. Flight of the books. The book of deeds are going to fly like birds. So on the Day of Judgment, the books of people will be flying up in the air. And when they will descend down, that's one of the marahil of the Day of Judgment, one of the stages of the Day of Judgment. And we find that there are people whom we call Ashabul Yameen, who have the book of deeds handed into their right hands. And there are people whom we call Ashabul Shimal, Ashabul Mash'ama, who have the book of deeds handing over to them either in their left hand or min wara'i dhahrihi, from behind his back, or it will be hanging in their necks. Three policies for different categories of sinners. So anyone who has the, after the flying of the books, Tatayur al-Kutub, and finally the descending of the books, he has the book of deed coming to him either in his left hand or hanging in the neck or given from behind his back, this is a sign the person is heading towards Jahannam and the hellfire. وَيَصْلَى سَعِيرًا, Quran says. And the people who are going to, the person who is going to be given the book from behind his back is going to be thrown into Sa'ir. He'll fall in Sa'ir, the hell. So the only ones who are successful are the ones who have the book of deeds handed over in the right hand. فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا, he will be held an easy accountability. For in some of the ahadith we learn that the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that the duration of hisab and accountability of a mu'min is like a salatul maktuba, just like a prayers that we pray, the wajib prayers that we pray. In other words, how much time it consumes for me and you to pray our wajib prayers? A few minutes, isn't it right? 5 minutes, 7 minutes, 6 minutes, few minutes. For a mu'min who is a good doer, the duration of his hisab on the Day of Judgment is equal to the duration of a wajib prayers that he prays. That much fast. So for those who are sinners, definitely we have the Day of Judgment, which equals to Yawmun Kana Miqdaruhu Khamseena Alf Sana. The Day of Judgment, which magnitude spans over 50,000 years. 50,000 years of this world's calculations equals to one day of that world. So we have those mawaqif of Qiyamah, stations and stops of the Day of Judgment. Every station and stop, you know, takes 1,000 years. And they are, you know, clearly defined questions which will be asked on those stops. 50,000 years. But for a mu'min, so look at the hadith of the Holy Prophet, وَمِنْهُمُ الَّذِينَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ لِأَنَّهُمْ لَمْ يَلْبِسُوا مِنْ أَمْرِ الدُّنْيَا بِالشَّيْءٍ. Among them there are some, and inshallah in tomorrow's speech I will talk about in a little bit more detail about those some. Among the people there are some who will be entering the paradise without accountability. The accountability is really fast, you know, as if there is no accountability. So fast. And لأنهم, the reason why they have no accountability, because لم يلبسوا من أمر الدنيا بشيئين, they did not pollute themselves with the affairs of dunya. لم يلبسوا, and they kept away from this pollution, aludgi. You know, this how our iman and spirituality gets impaired and tainted and polluted with the attachments of this dunya. You know, we are commemorating, we have so many of, even in your community, of Hujjaj, isn't it right? Of Baytullah al-Haram, our brothers and sisters who have recently came from doing the Hajj of Baytullah, and doing the ziyarat of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam in Medina al-Munawwara, and some who are coming from, you know, Karbala and Najaf or Mashhad or Al-Kadhimiyya, other holy sites of Islam. And we find that these people are returning back with all these some of the greatest worships of Islam. Isn't it right? so much importance has been given to the fariḍa of Hajj in Islam that the hadith says that if people abandon, if a time arrives that people abandon the Hajj, it's wajib on Imam, the Imam al-Muslimin, أَن يُجْبِرَهُمْ عَلَى الْحَجِّ, to force them to go for Hajj. فَإِنَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ إِنَّمَا وُضِعَ لِلْحَجِّ, because this house has been made, it has been created for the sake of Hajj. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not agree that the house of Allah is abandoned by the people. So at every cost, some have to go. This is the principle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it has so many barakat and so many blessings and manafi' and benefits for humanity. So mashallah, so many of you return back. And that's what our scholars say, when our hajj, a person performing the hajj or ziyarat, he returns back from these occasions, our urafa say, there's a specific makhsus, there's a specific noor in the spirituality of this person. If you have some of the urafa present here who are witnessing a za'ir of A'imma alayhimu salam, za'ir of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, you know, za'ir of Baytullah al-Haram, Hajj, person who performs the Hajj, there's a specific noor that is visible in his soul. Other than the noor of Salat, other than the noor of Saum, other than the noor of Khums, other than the noor of every other ibadah, every ibadah has a noor and a good smell. This is what Ilmul Irfan teaches us, isn't it right? So you can, if you have the ma'rifat and knowledge of Irfan, you can recognize a human being is a good doer or a bad doer, either a salih or a talih person, by just looking at the kind of noor or zulmat available in his soul. Because every single good deed has a specific noor which is specific to that good deed. And similarly, there's a beautiful smell related to that good deed only. And every wrong deed has a zulmat and darkness and a bad smell that comes from the soul of that person. So look at the hadith of the Holy Prophet where he says, تَعَطَّرُوا بِالْإِسْتِغْفَارِ لَا يَفْضَحَنَّكُمْ رَوَائِحُ الزُّنُوبِ. That means, basically have the good odor and good smell coming from yourselves through istighfar. When you perform the istighfar, a beautiful smell comes from your soul. So basically you bring the beautiful smell in your spirituality, لَا يَفْضَحَنَّكُمْ رَوَائِهِ الزُّنُوبِ, so the bad odors of sins do not insult you. How we get insulted? Angels present, isn't it right? Every day Allah is sending new angels, 140 angels in every single mu'min. Just imagine, throughout my life, I am 70 years old, 80 years old in this dunya, at the end of the day, how many thousands of angels who are infallible standing on the Day of Judgment, and I will get insulted in front of them because of the bad smell coming from my soul. And all those great personalities, if they are present, I'm present in front of them, they will also recognize the bad deeds that I have performed. So we find this noor which is found, what I was saying to you, alhamdulillah, several people in your community have came back from Hajj and Ziyarat, and there's a specific noor found in the ruhaniyat of these people. Our scholars say this noor of Hajj and Ziyarat remains in the soul of the person as long as he or she did not commit a sin. When I perform a sin, the noor has gone, has departed. That specific noor is no longer found. So we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the closeness towards Allah is depending on whether or not we are tainted with Amrud Dunya or not. So those who are not tainted, those who are not polluted with the attachment of dunya, for them, they're going to, Prophet says, يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. They're going to enter the paradise without accountability. وَإِنَّمَا الْحِسَابُ, Prophet says, إِنَّمَا الْحِسَابُ هُنَالِكَ عَلَى مَنْ تَلَبَّسَ بِهَا هَاهُنَا. Accountability there, hisab there, that means in the Day of Judgment, is for the person who is mutalabbis bid dunya, for the person who has, you know, polluted himself in this world right here. If I manage myself to be protected and kept away from the getting polluted, then there's no accountability. One of the teachers was telling that went into the house of one of the great personalities. We have very great personalities in our hawzat, you know, awliyaullah, living in very simple houses. If you look at their housing, you would be surprised the kind of houses that they live in. It's such a simple house made of mud or clay or bricks, whatever. And you go inside, you find this is the biggest philosopher in the world living in this shanty house. Or the biggest mufassir of Quran in the world right now is living in this kind of simple house. That's the situation of our houses. So you go and see these awliyaullah, these great personalities. And one of the scholars was telling that I went there in the house of a great personality. There's such a simple way of living, avoiding the pollution of this dunya. You know why they have the less accountability? Because they don't allow the spirituality to get polluted. And he said to that great person, you're really leading a very simple life. That's too simple. And he said, the answer to your question, I have already written on the wall. And he looked up and saw on the wall, it was written, هَذَا لِمَنْ يَمُوتُ كَثِيرٌ. This is a lot for the one who is going to die. Even this much is a lot for the one who is going to die. So we understand, brothers and sisters, that holding ourselves accountable, which is the subject of my speeches in these nights, we can hold ourselves accountable if we remember the phenomena of death. This is the key. If we fail to remember the phenomena of death, a human being gets polluted and polluted further and further, entrenched into the love of dunya and its belongings. So we want, they say, when you, if you want to travel, you have to travel light. Isn't it right? And if you want to travel, any kind of travel by road, by train, by air, on foot, alhamdulillah, there are mu'mineen and mu'minat who are traveling from Najaf to Karbala on foot for the ziyarah of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. And then a lot of sawab, huge sawab. Imam al-Hasan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam. According to some riwayat, some narrations, he performed 15 hajj on foot. And some of the riwayat say 20 hajj. So minimum 15 hajj. And in some of the occasions, he has, you know, very nice markab, horse, animal right next to him. He's not riding the animal. And somebody asked him that you have an animal with you and you're not riding it. He said, I feel haya and sharm. I feel hesitant before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I come to him riding an animal. This is kind of the ma'rifat that Ahlul Bayt enjoy, and that's what they are teaching us. They are keeping away, keeping their lifestyle as simple as possible. This is why they have the Nuraniyat. So Salman al-Farisi, rahmatullahi alayhi wa salamullahi alayhi, is a person who became the wali of Mada'in with the permission of the wali of the time. Wali of the time definitely is Amir al-Mu'mineen wa Imam al-Muttaqeen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam. It's not allowed in Islam to enter into the establishment of Tawhut. We all know that's not permissible in Islam, unless and until as al-hukm al-thanawi, the secondary ruling, where you have the izn and permission from the wali. So he had the permission from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, and his kind type of person deserves to have the positions and authority. And he was the wali and governor of Mada'in. And in one of the occasions, the history says that there was a storm coming in Mada'in. People are rushing, gathering their stuff. And if you happen to remember what happened in Florida, what happened in Texas a while ago, isn't it right? They opened both sides of the freeways, going towards up north towards Dallas from Houston, so people can rush out of the city of Houston in the case of a hurricane, isn't it right? So those who are there can tell you how a person feels when this kind of natural disaster happens. You really have very few minutes to go out of that area, affected area. So people are rushing to get out of the storm. And somebody came to Salman al-Farsi and told him, there is a water storm happening. When he heard the news, the narration says he picked up his mushaf, his Quran. He has an asaq, a stick. The hadith says, "Man balagh al-arba'in, falam yakhudh al-asa, faqad asa." Whoever reaches the age of 40, whoever reaches 40 and did not pick up a stick, he did a sin. Now this is the zahir of the hadith. Now, some of our scholars say the batin, the ihtimal and the meaning of the hadith is that anyone who reaches the age of 40 and does not get prepared for the safarul akhirah, the travel of akhirat, has done a sin. Because picking up a stick is a sign for travel. When do you pick up a stick? Because you want to stand up and go and move. Is a sign of traveling. So you have reached the age of 40 and you still did not prepare yourself for the day of judgment, you are a sinner. So we need to be prepared when we reach the age of 40. Isn't it right? So we find Salman al-Farsi picked up his stick and his mushaf, his Quran, and a bag, a small bag where he had his little bit stuff, and got his slippers and started to walk out. And when he walked out, the narration says that he said to the people, "Hakada yanjul mukhiffun." This is how the light people will succeed. They say when you're traveling, you have to travel light. How light could it be? You can just grab a stick and a Quran and a piece of bag on your back and just start moving. That's it. And those who were not light, definitely they got affected by the storm. So we find in the narration that Salman al-Farsi came on the top of a hill and said to the people that on the day of judgment, likewise on the day of judgment, we are talking about the hisab and accountability concept in Islam. Salman al-Farsi came on the hilltop and addressed the crowd that on the day of judgment, likewise those who are light are going to succeed. So this is what even moving in our times, lots of people move around in America, isn't it right? From one state to the other, from one city to the other, isn't it right? The concept of hijrat and muhajara in Islam, migration. Like as mentioned last night in my speech, in Islam our values are actually concepts that need to be understood properly. You talk to people about migration. Migration is a concept. It's not just a word that you can say, hijra fi sabilillah, hijrat. No. The concept of hijrat and migration, moving from one place to the other, entirely depends, in Islamic ideology, it depends on your iman and faith. In Islam, we migrate for the sake of our faith. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, that al muhajiru man hajara sayyi'at. The migrant is the person who departs the sins. So if you find in a city, in a state, in an area, in a country, you are unable to practice your iman and faith, and you will end up doing the sins, that's the time where we migrate for the sake of protecting our iman and abstaining from the harams. That's the reason why we migrate in Islam. So migrations, when they do, it's our responsibility. It also teaches us to shed the weight and remain less weighty. And likewise, in the hadith, it says, "Inna Allah Azza wa Jal yuhasibu kulla khalqin illa man ashraka billah Azza wa Jal." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to hold accountable everyone except the one who did shirk towards Allah. That means mushrik is not going to be held accountable. Everyone else is going to be held accountable. So what's going to happen to a mushrik person who associates partner or partners with Allah? A mushrik. What's going to happen to him? Obviously, فَإِنَّهُ لَا يُحَاسَبُ وَيُؤْمَرُ بِهِ إِلَى النَّارِ. This kind of person is not going to be held accountable. Straight away, he's going to be sent to the hell. For mushrik, there is no accountability. This is one of the most important things that we need to keep in our minds, because shirk, according to the hadith, it is more difficult to determine the shirk and the character of a person than walking of an ant in the darkness of the night over a black stone. Ant always, it's already black, isn't it right? And it's the darkness of the night, and on a black stone. Obviously, it's becoming really hard to even see the ant walking. Shirk is even harder to determine in our personalities than this. This is what we need to be very careful about. So protecting our iman. Please say salawat. Ayatullah Mirza Jawad Tehrani, rahmatullah alayh, one of our great scholars and very extremely pious personalities. Some of the scholars are really pious. Not every alim is muttaqi, isn't it right? Some of the scholars don't have the taqwa, and some of the scholars are pious, but some are really pious. He was famous for the sake of his taqwa, and he wrote a book on Ilm al-Akhlaq, Islamic morality, obviously in Farsi. 99% of our mujtahideen are all from Iran throughout the history, isn't it right? So most of our books are in Farsi. That's why I keep on encouraging our youth, our brothers and sisters, to please learn either the Arabic, which is obviously the best language, or the Farsi at least. So you end up having access to this great treasure that we have, that we enjoy in these two Islamic languages. Most of the treasure is in Farsi, because most of the scholars are Iranians, Persians. Isn't it right? So if you just speak, let's suppose if you're a person who is only you only speak one language, for example English or French or Spanish, we don't have a single interpretation and tafsir of Holy Quran present in the English language. You can understand the extent of information that you can possibly reach. How high can you reach in English language in terms of the spirituality and Islamic divine value system? And you can't even understand the Holy Quran completely and properly in that language, because people who speak this language haven't written books in that language. Those who speak whatever other language, they have to come up and write the books, isn't it right? So so it's our responsibility, brothers and sisters, to arrange for our children to become familiar, acquainted with our Islamic languages as much as we can. But now when we die, it's not a big deal. Everybody ends up speaking Arabic.
You know, that's what my teacher Ayatollah Jawadi Amuli Hafazahullah was saying, that in the grave, everyone speaks Arabic.
Even a kafir, even a mushrik, even somebody who has no connection with the Arabic language, when you are laid into the grave, you end up speaking. That's the official language of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the language of the angels. It's not a big deal if me and you learn to end up speaking Arabic in the qabr, because that's even a kafir is going to do. What's the big deal about us? The big deal is that if we learn the divine value system in our lifetime, abstaining from the talabbus bid dunya, abstaining from getting polluted with the affairs of this world that blocks us from doing that. So we find that Ayatullah al-Uzma, Mirza Jawad Tahrani rahmatullah alayh, such a great scholar, he wrote a book in Farsi, Ilm al-Akhlaq, Aine Zindagi. That's the name of his book. That means the code of life. And when they took the book away for publishing, and after publishing they brought it back to him, and he had a look at the book, and he saw that they wrote, you know, he was, first of all, he was never agreeing to write down his own name over the book. He said, I wrote it for the sake of Allah, not for the people. How many of us are ready to write an article and not, or a presentation or a book, and not even mention our name, because Allah knows it. I did it for the sake of Allah, and He knows it, and that's enough for me. I don't need no recognition from nobody.
How many are like this? That's why I said in the beginning that some of the scholars are really pious.
So he never agreed. Then they said to him, well, if you don't mention your own name, who's going to buy it? There's so many books out there in the marketplace. Writing your name gives the value to the contents. And that's true. We do buy the books by looking at the name of the author. We buy the books by looking at the name of some great mujtahid, who's an expert of Islam, not just any person out there. You know, there's so much disinformation in the name of Islam, which is probably more than the information. So he agreed with that reasoning, that his name be mentioned, and then they went away and they published the book and they brought it to him and they wrote Ayatullah Mirza Jawad Tahrani. He took his pen and he erased the word Ayatullah. This again shows the modesty and tawadu of the person. Isn't it right? There are some people who are ready to, some sinners like me, who are ready to ask the people, there are people who are themselves asking the people to write down alqab and titles in front of their names. Ayatullah or Allama or whatever other titles. Isn't it right? If you are muhtaj towards the titles, that means you are not a scholar. A scholar is the one who his own ilm and taqwa speaks for itself. You don't need titles or, you know, prefixes towards your names or other things added for you to be introduced. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, man tawada'a, the hadith says from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, man tawada'a rafa'ahullah. Whoever does tawadu and modesty, Allah elevates him. Allah will arrange ways and means that you yourself will get elevated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa man takabbara azallahullah. And whosoever performs takabbur and arrogance, Allah downs him, Allah insults him. So
we find that nowadays this is another bad tradition existing in the society, that people are themselves adding these kind of alqab in front of them. And not just that, but
then they become, you know, so much centered and focused over their own personalities. Where people end up saying, no, he's this guy, he's an Allama, this is a great scholar, he's an Ayatollah, he says that. The people think that just because he is such a great person, he can never be wrong. This is not the right way of judging any person. Isn't it right? You don't judge, you don't fix the personality of a person first in your mind, and then you derive the decision, because he's so high, he can never do wrong. This is exactly what the people did in the time of Ma'arikatul Jamal, the battle of the camel in the time of Imam Ali alayhi salam. This is exactly what they did. When these people came, these silly-minded people came to Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam and said, how can this be possible that you, Ali ibn Abi Talib, you are the only one who is on haq, and all these big personalities who are on the other side, all of them are batil? So they are looking at the personalities first, not the issue. In Islam, we don't do like this. You don't look at the personality first. You look at the haq and batil first.
Look at what Imam Ali alayhi salam said to these people, that innaka lamalbusun alayk, you are confused. Innal haqqa wal batil la yu'rafani bi aqdarir rijal. Haq and batil is not recognized by the status of the personalities. I'rif al haqq ta'rif ahlahu.
Look at the haqq, recognize the haqq, you will end up recognizing who is Ahlul Haqq.
Wa'arif al-batil, recognize the batil, ta'arif ahlahu, you will end up recognizing who is Ahlul Batil.
It's the other way around. Never bring the personality when we are having any debate on any subject. Never end up saying that this person is doing that, so it can never be wrong. This is not the right way to debate. This is not the right Islamic way to do it. It's against the Nahjul Balagha. Amir al-Mu'mineen is teaching us that we bring the haqq first and we bring the batil first. That we will first understand in the eyes of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam what is considered to be haqq and batil. Let's settle that thing, and then it will become automatically clear who is following the policy of haqq. He will be Ahlul Haqq, and who is not following the policy of haqq and is following the policy of batil, he will be Ahlul Batil. So don't make a big person out of a personality just because you are assuming it. So we find the big persons are the ones who are modest. So he cut off the word Ayatullah in front of his name from his own book and gave the book back to them. And instead of the word written Ayatullah, Mirza Jawad Tehrani, Ayin-e Zindagi, Ayatullah Mirza Jawad Tehrani. He cut off the word Ayatullah with his hand, and he cut off the word Mirza Jawad, and he wrote Meem Jeem Tehrani. To make it further unclear. Isn't it right? This is how you show that you are doing only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us do something purely for Allah, where no human is involved in that ibadat. This is the ibadat, this is how the ibadat is. I think I once mentioned in your city that story that Sheikh Abbas
Qummi, who wrote Mafatihul Jinan. This great personality of ours, his father participated in the majalis of Sheikh Abdul Razak. And he came back after participating in the majalis al-Aza of Sheikh Abdul Razak. And Sheikh Abdul Razak was reading the majlis, keeping from the book, Manazilul Akhira. Manazilul Akhira is a book that is written by Sheikh Abbas Qummi. Sheikh Abbas Qummi's father participated in the majlis, in the majalis al-aza of Sheikh Abdul Razak, and Sheikh Abdul Razak is a khatib. He is reciting the majlis from the book Manazilul Akhira, which is written by Sheikh Abbas Qummi. The father comes back from the majlis
And he says to his son, I wish you were a khatib.
I just came from the, in other words, from the, you know, speech of Sheikh Abdul Razak. He was delivering the Majalis al-Aza.
And he was reading from the book Manazil al-Akhirah. I wish you had a book like that. The book is written by Sheikh Abbas Qummi himself, his son. But he never told his dad, Dad, this is my book. I am the one who wrote the book. Instead, he replies back to his father that, pray for me that Allah gives me the tawfiq to do some khair.
Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali.
We are talking about the concept of ikhlas and keeping away from the shirk. Isn't it right? Because if a person has shirk, because riya and associating, and riya is also associating partner with Allah. Doing something for the sake of the people, for getting recognition from the people, getting praise from the people is also shirk. Isn't it right? A person who is mushrik has no hisab on the day of judgment. And the mushrik person is going to be sent to the hell without accountability.
So, this is how the ikhlas is maintained, by keeping away from any kind of recognition. Any kind of recognition that our nafs, our desires can ever ask us. We find that there was a mujtahid, Ayatullah Sheikh Hassan, rahmatullah alayh, Sheikh Hassan Ali. He was he used to personally go and drop some money, some stipend, in the house of a talib al-ilm, a religious student. The tulab ad-diniyya, the religious students, usually, obviously, who are studying in various houses of Islam, usually they are very poor people, isn't it right? There's nobody to take care of them. So, so this great mujtahid, he used to go himself and give some stipend regularly to a student. For 12 years, he continued to do that without telling that student that it's me who is doing it. Till the day, the history says that this mujtahid died, and only then the student discovered that it was because he didn't receive any money further. Then he discovered that this stipend, this help, I was receiving from that mujtahid. This is how we are supposed to learn these small, you know, tips in our life. You know, if I do something good towards my brother, if you help out your uncle, your aunt, somebody, your relatives in your life, there are people who always keep on mentioning the little good deed that they did towards their relatives, isn't it right? Every gathering they sit to talk about their good deeds. You know what, I helped my brother to, you know, to do this and this and this. Why are you talking about that? Just hide your good deeds from other people. At least keep some of the good deeds for the sake of Allah purely. So no one knows. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that. Keep the value of your good deeds. Don't destroy the greatness of your good deeds. Salawat. So we find that the Holy Quran has said, وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. Most of those who claim the iman have iddia of iman are mushriks. Most of the people who have the iddia and claim of iman are mushriks. And the examples, there are two examples given in the tafsir, in the hadith of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu was salam. Doing the tafsir of this ayat, Imam himself is giving two examples. A person, you know, comes back from his work, and his family, in other words, his family asked him about how's the things going on. And he said, if such and such businessman was not there to help me out, tonight we didn't have bread to eat.
That means this bread that we are eating, is because of the help that I received today at my workplace from some businessman. This example that Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam is giving in the tafsir of shirk. This is shirk. You are totally ignoring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is the one who is Khaliqul Asbab, He is the one who is Musabbibul Asbab, the one who creates the means and causes, the one who arranges all the means and causes for you in life. You are ignoring Him. Who are we? We are just tools. We are assigned certain tasks and assignments on behalf of Allah, and we are doing those things as long as Allah wishes. And when our assignment ends, then, or if we don't do the gratefulness and shukr towards this ni'mat of Allah, this is a big blessing of Allah, that Allah assigns this assignment, that through you some help is offered to a mu'min.
قَضَاءُ حَاجَةِ الْمُؤْمِنِ أَفْضَلْ مِنْ أَلْفِ حَجَّةٍ مُتَقَبَّلَ. That means fulfilling the hajat and need of a mu'min is better than 1,000 accepted hajj. Isn't that a big deal? 1,000 hajj.
We go for hajj, and you know, it's such a hard worship. It's not easy. Some people say when we get older, we're going to go for hajj. This is not the job of old people. You see, you ask the young people who went there, and you ask, you get the first-hand information from them how hard ibadat and worship hajj is. It's something that you have to do in your, you know, in your young age, if possible. So, 1,000 hajj on one side, and helping one mu'min on the other side. This is superior. The 1,000 hajj which are accepted. I go for hajj, I have no clue whether my hajj is accepted by Allah or not. I don't know. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. But if you help out a fellow mu'min brother for the sake of his iman, it is confirmed that you get the sawab more than the sawab of 1,000 accepted hajj. Now how many people are acting on this value of Islam? For the sake of his iman. Not even if he's bad towards me. Some mu'min did a bad behavior towards me. So I am not the mizan and criteria of haq and batil. Is it right? That if somebody did a bad behavior towards me, I stop saying salam to him. That's not the right way. As long as he still believes in the walayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam and did not support any zalim in his life, he is still on the iman of walayat. He still has respect. Al-mu'minu a'zamu hurmatan min al-ka'ba. One mu'min has greater respect than the holy Kaaba. We are supposed to keep on helping them. So we find that helping out, this is one example which was given in the tafsir in the hadith of Imam al-Sadiq. The second example of shirk that we are discussing tonight, holding ourselves accountable, muhasabah, to maintain our iman and keep away from various types of shirk, whether in the form of riya or associating partners with Allah, showing off to people, or in our everyday life, the things and assignments that we get the things done, if we relate those things to people instead of relating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That I got some job, I got some money, I made some money, I brought some money home, and I think if that businessman, that employer didn't provide me the job today, we couldn't have bread for tonight. This is called shirk. It's mentioned in the hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. And the second example that Imam Sadiq himself is mentioning in the tafsir of the tafsir of that ayat, under the discussion of the tafsir of that ayat, is that somebody's child becomes sick. He takes him to a doctor, and when he comes back to his home and his family asks him about the condition of the child, and he replies back, if that doctor was not there, our child would have been dead. So you think the life and the cure is provided by the doctor to your child, ignoring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely. This is another example that Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam is mentioning as the example of shirk. Quran says, وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. That means majority of those who claim they are mu'mins are doing shirk. Majority, not minority. The majority of the people are engaged in shirk among the mu'mineen who claim to be mu'mins. We're not talking about the kuffar right now. Peace say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And then we find وَأَمَّا السَّلَاسَ الَّذِينَ يُدْخِلُهُمُ النَّارَ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Like I said to you in the beginning time, minutes of my speech, then inshallah I'll talk about those who are going to go to paradise without accountability tomorrow, inshallah. So the hadith which I want to mention tonight was about those who are going to go to the hellfire without hisab. Three people in this hadith, Imamun Ja'ir. The first is the zalim ruler. Zalim ruler has no accountability. The hadith tells us that, you know, Zalim and all of his supporters will be gathered together. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to put them in a box of steel. Sunduqun min hadid. A box of steel. Zalim and all of his supporters. Supporter can be anyone, isn't it right? Even if you can pick up a pin and put on the table of a Zalim. This is enough for us to be counted and to be resurrected along with that zalim in the Day of Judgment. Or any other example that you can think of. So, and then this box of steel, when they're all packed in the box, and this box is going to be thrown into the hell. This is about the zalim. Zero accountability. Allah has certain principles, isn't it right? He's going to go by the books. He's not going to violate his own laws. So, first, without accountability into the hell is the zalim ruler. وَتَاجِرٌ كَذُوبٌ. And a businessman that lies. Let's suppose you have an auto dealership. People buy cars from you, isn't it right? How many people tell the truth when they are selling the cars? What is under the hood? If you know there's a problem in this car and you still did not tell your client about the problem that you know, is it allowed in Islam to sell the car like this? And if you say this car is fine, there's nothing wrong with it, and you know what's wrong but you're hiding it, you're not going to bring a haram bread for our children, isn't it right? So tajirun kadhub, a businessman that lies a lot. One person said that it's 40 years in my life that I'm doing such and such business. I never lied in my transactions for one day. This is a value that we need to cherish about. If I made a money, I did my job, I worked in a workplace, and I never lied while making the money. This is what counts. Tajirun kadhub. Some people say if you don't lie, you can't make the money. Isn't it right? That's what some people say. You think the money is because of lying, not because of Allah? Is that what you think? Is the lie which is providing you with the wealth? So this is the second category of person who's a liar businessman is going to go to the hellfire without accountability, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam is telling us. And the third person is Shaykhun Zanin, an elderly person who performs zina. So there is definitely no accountability for that. You know, when you reach the age of 40, obviously this is our deadline. Isn't it right? So we need to be aware and we need to be careful about that. And before I come to the end of my speech, we find that peace say salawat. We find that Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam receives the message. Look at how Imam al-Husayn is protecting his iman. He's migrating his watan and hometown of Medina. And I just told you minutes ago, the concept of migration in Islam depends on migrating to protect your iman and keeping away from harams. That's why we migrate. That's the reason why we migrate in Islam. For the sake of iman. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam is the muhajir, the real muhajir. When he receives the letter from Walid to come to, you know, to the darbar, to the court, and Imam Hussein alayhi salam accompanies with his Bani Hashim. And in the darbar of Walid, la'anatullahi alayhi, he tells him the news that Yazid has become the successor and Muawiyah has died. And he has sent me this order to take bay'at for him. And look at the response of our Mawla. This is an eye-opener for the generations. And I think, in my personal humble opinion, every Shia Isna Ashari person must teach this response of Imam al-Hussein to his children so they remember throughout their life. This is a beacon of guidance, how to lead our life. Because Imam al-Hussein replies back, Ayyuhal Amir, Inna Ahlu Baytun Nubuwa. We are the household of prophethood, Wa Ma'dinu Risala. And we are the mineral of messengership, Risalat. Wa Mukhtalaful Malaika. The angels descend down upon us. Wa mahbitul wahy. That means the revelation of Allah comes upon us. We are the place where revelation comes. We are the place where the angels descend. We are the mineral of Risalat and the Ahlul Bayt, in other words. He said once. And on the contrary, who is the person who is asking for bay'at? وَيَزِيدُ رَجُلٌ شَارِبُ الْخَمَرِ Yazid is a person who drinks alcohol. وَقَاتِلُ نَفْسٍ مُخْتَرَمًا This is the profile of Yazid in short words that Imam al-Hussein is describing, and he's teaching us, the rest of the generations, that whenever you find a person in your life who is ruling in the Islamic Ummah with this kind of profile, what is your responsibility? Can you stay idle? Can you stay silent? Can you ignore what he's doing? Look at what Imam Hussain says, Yazid rajulun sharib al-khamr, qatil an-nafs al-muhtarama. He is the killer of the sacred life. And those people whose life is respected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he did not respect and he kills. Wa mu'linun bil-fisq, and openly performs the haram. And then Imam Hussain al-Islam says, wa misli la yubayi'u mislahu. And a person like me is not going to do the bay'at of a person like him. This is the policy. It's an eternal policy that Imam Hussein is teaching us. And we find that he walks out after some conversation. He walks out of the court, comes back to his house, informs his family members that now we need to depart the city of Medina. Now everyone is preparing for the departure. Abdullah ibn Sanan al-Kufi. One of the followers of Ahlul Bayt, he's from Kufa. He says in his narration, that was the same day when I entered into the city of Medina. It was the same day when Abi Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam was leaving Medina. First of Muharram arrived. Isn't it right? We are entering into the holy month of Muharram. So Abdullah ibn Sanan says, I saw the whole city filled up with sadness. I don't know what is happening. And I asked some people, what's the issue? And I was told that Hussein ibn Ali is departing the city of Medina. This is how the sadness is all about. So he says, tell me his house so I can go and see my Mawla. So somebody told him that about the direction of the house of Imam, and he went there and he says, I saw Imam al-Hussein is sitting next to the door of the house outside, sitting on a chair. And he says, there are camels who are brought in a row, in a line.
when the camels are brought, and then the, you know, the loads are loaded on the camel and they were taken away. And then another camel was brought with the mahmil, you know, to carry the people. And one lady comes out in hijab. One respectable lady of Ahlul Bayt comes out with hijab. There is a young boy, you know, he's referring to Qasim ibn al-Hassan. There's a young boy who comes forward, helps out that respectable lady to ride the camel with a lot of respect. So we understand this is Sayyidina Ummu Farwa salallahu alayha, who is riding the camel, and Qasim ibn al-Hassan is helping his mother to ride the camel. And then he says that so and so forth, different ladies are coming and there are different youth present there. Ali ibn al-Akbar is there, Abul Fadl Abbas alayhi salam is there, and they are helping the ladies of Ahlul Bayt to ride the camel. All of a sudden I saw that a lady came out and all those young people came forward to help in some way for that lady to ride the camel. When I inquired, I was told this is Ummu Kulsoom, the younger daughter of Amir al-Mumineen alayhi salam. She's riding the camel and this is how they are respecting her. And we find that Abdullah ibn Sanan says that after that, I saw a different scene. I saw suddenly my Mawla Hussein ibn Ali rises up from the chair. He stands up in the respect. And some lady comes out of the khaymah, comes out of the house, and everyone gathers, comes forward. Somebody straightens the slippers for her. Somebody holds the curtain for the mahmil. Somebody helps her, and they're all helping her to ride the back of the camel. And I was told, this is Zainab al-Kubra, the daughter of Amir al-Mu'mineen and Fatima al-Zahra. She's coming out of the house. Look at how everyone is respecting. Imam al-Hussein is rising up in the respect of Zainab. How much beloved Hazrat Zainab is. She is definitely the biggest supporter of Imam al-Hussein and the biggest companion of Imam al-Hussein. Na'ibatul Zahra. She comes forward, and now this is the time when Imam al-Hussein is departing the city of Medina. But then, brothers and sisters, we have another occasion that I recall on the 11th of Muharram al-Haram, after Ashura, when this caravan of Ahlul Bayt was departing Karbala, and we find Hazrat Zainab al-Kubra, she is the one who comes forward to help Imam al-Sajjal alayhi salam. She is the one who comes forward to help Fidda salamullah alayha, to help the rest of the ladies and help everyone, those who are riding the camels. She helps everyone to ride. When the turn comes for her own self, we find the narration tells us, sometime Hazrat Zainab, she looks at the height of the back of the camel, and looks at her own weakness. Zainab al-Kubra is now very weak after all the masaib that she has faced in Ashura. She is the Ummul Masaib. And now, at that time, Zainab al-Kubra is alone. No one is there to help her to ride the camel from Karbala. Now that they are departing, she did not recall Imam al-Hussein at that time. She did not call Aun and Muhammad at that time. She did not call Qasim ibn al-Hassan. She did not call Ali ibn al-Akbar at that time. She called whom? She calls Abul Fadl Abbas. She calls Abul Fadl Abbas. The way Abul Fadl Abbas helped her to ride the camel departing from Medina. You know, how Hazrat Zainab is feeling lonely at that time. She is calling Abul Fadl Abbas to come for her help.
ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها. يا الله 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 يا الله. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين. اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين. اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين يا سيد الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين. اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين. اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Let's read the آية الكريمة 5 times for all the mu'mineen, especially those who have requested for dua, and all the mustadafeen and mahrumeen and mazlumeen in the Islamic Ummah, especially those who are defending the haram of Sayyida Zainab sallallahu alayha. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Amman yujibul muttara idha da'ahu wa yakshifu as-su'. Amman yujibul muttara idha da'ahu wa yakshifu as-su'. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ. الله أكبر. يا حسين.
يا حسين.